This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This Joycast is a free service brought to you by Joy 94.9. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member at joy.org.au.
This is Hide and Seek, your show for exploring sex, sexuality and self. My name is Andrew the Apprentice.
And I'm James Finlay. Welcome to our second hour.
And James, we're going to be talking about a topic over the next hour that is something that our community doesn't really talk about out in the open at all.
And I think it's probably a topic that not many people in the wider community talk about either.
But I guess not.
It's making waves lately.
It is making huge waves, huge headlines lately, and that is what we're going to call relationship violence, I think, tonight. Family violence, domestic violence, relationship violence. There was a study done by the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society.
Arches
at La Trobe University. It's a little bit older, but it's from 2008. And it found that just under a third of participants in this study reported being in a same-sex relationship where they had been subjected to abuse by their partner. Women were more likely than men to have been in an abusive relationship at 35% to 29%. However, amongst those women, 42% who identified as lesbian had been in a abusive relationship. About half have been reported being attacked, and over a quarter have been sexually abused. And I think it's important to recognise that when we're talking about relationship violence, we're talking about a whole range of types of abuses, emotional abuse, psychological abuse, not just the physical abuse and or sexual abuse. And financial abuse is also another type of relationship abuse.
Never even thought about that.
What the study also found is that not many people report about it, and we'll be talking about that further this evening. Essentially, that seemed to be a belief in regards to the relevant domestic violence services essentially not being appropriately trained to assist people from the rainbow community.
Joy 94.9.
James Finlay and Andrew the Apprentice with you on Hide and Seek. And this hour, we are talking about family violence or relationship violence, formerly known as domestic violence.
That's right.
In the same-sex attracted community.
And we are joined by Gabby Tyack from the Victoria Police, a GLO officer there, and also Anthony Lekas from the VAC, a counsellor there.
Yes.
Good evening, both of you.
Thanks for
Welcome
having
to
us.
Hide and Seek. Now, first of all, I'm going to say that a lot of these, when you think of domestic violence or relationship violence or
family
violence, you kind of think of just actual physical violence. A lot of people think that, but when, you know, I think emotional violence, psychological psychological abuse, things that are so common but no one really thinks about as being something that can affect you.
And sometimes family violence and abuse can be more damaging when it's not physical.
Yeah.
Because the mental abuse and the controlling behaviours and not having any freedom to do anything that you would normally do can be so restricting and cause such mental and psychological damage.
Yeah. And, one of my friends actually went through a relationship where her partner was being, you know, psychologically abusive, you know, saying, you know, you can't leave me because this will happen, or I'll do this to myself. And, you know, it's not something that people really talk about because people don't think it happens that often. But that's not really the case, right?
Well, in our community in particular, if you're gay, lesbian, trans, bi, intersex, it's often you're dealing with so many outside stresses and believing that people are putting you down and looking at you to see what you're doing wrong.
Already.
Yeah, so when you're in a relationship, you don't want to then say, hey, well, I'm gay and I'm also having issues in my relationship. Okay. You sort of want to keep it to yourself.
And it's also that for some it's going to be normalised, I guess, in a way that, okay, I'm going to be put down.
Yeah, and that's a really big issue that our community deals with, that we are not important enough for because we're in this community, that's what happens to us and we have to accept it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely, and some of the people we work with at the Victorian AIDS Council in our relationship violence programs, like you said, they experience externalised homophobia out in the community. They might start to adopt the ideas that this is just what happens in a gay relationship. Mm. They might not be aware of what relationship violence actually is or family violence. And I think that's true even more broadly for the general community. Like you said, we often think about family violence as physical and sexual abuse and things like destroying property. And I think, and Gabby, you can shed light on this, but I think those offences come under the Crimes Act and they are considered criminal offences, but they're not as clear. Other forms of violence like emotional abuse or psychological abuse that you referred to aren't as clear cut in the law. They're not as easy to prove, I guess, in a courtroom. Yeah. And so people don't give them the sort of credit that they actually deserve.
So I guess a lot of the time people might think, well, I don't have any physical or physical evidence to prove that anything's happened. It's just the way that I feel.
Hmm.
So it's not really worth doing anything about.
Yeah, that's certainly the case. And it's when you have to think about if you are living a life where your freedom is being restricted because of what the other person is saying you need to do or they're not letting you do things, then that certainly falls into the category of family violence. And that's when you have to start thinking, okay, is this good for me, this relationship? Can I fix the relationship and change it so it's more healthy? Or do I need outside assistance to try and help me or my partner so we can change to be more healthy together?
And the other component is also money and financial comes into it. Yeah, often,
didn't even think about that.
Often, either having your money controlled or feeling like you have to control your money
because I thought of the it was other more partner. They're spending all my money.
Well, there's that as well. There is that as well.
Yes. Yeah, that's true.
Well, financial abuse is another form of violence that, again, comes under the Family Violence Protection Act as a form of abuse. And I know of a case, a same-sex relationship, where a young person, he was 21, he came from...
That's young.
Well, it's pretty young, isn't it? It's younger than me.
All of us.
Came from the country to stay with his partner that he met online.
Yeah.
And he was not only economically dependent on his partner, but he was also socially dependent on his partner. Mm-hmm. I mean, this young person sort of came out to his family and then left rural Victoria, came to inner city Melbourne, and his whole life really was dependent and revolved around his partner, who was actually, using all sorts of controlling and abusive behaviours to maintain power in that relationship. So, there was no physical abuse, and from what I understood, there was no sexual abuse either. But this young person was feeling incredibly dominated by his partner, based on sort of, where he could go, what sort of access he had to the financial resources in the relationship. That was in quite a difficult situation for him.
And I imagine for him, he would have never even thought of going to the police because there's no physical violence involved, that they just don't think of looking for assistance.
Yes.
But you would need to go to the police if you wanted any action, or you need to go to the court and get an intervention order, which I'm assuming we can probably talk about a little bit later when we've got some more time.
Yep. I just wanted to mention again, of course, for our listeners, we're talking with Anthony from VAC and Gabby from the Vic Police. And Gabby, you were leading in there about the resistance or the lack of confidence, I guess, in reporting these things.
Yeah. When it's not physical violence, and a lot of people still aren't going to the police or looking for help when it is physical, because it's such a cycle of abuse when it comes to family violence. Usually, and you would know this too, Anthony, there's a honeymoon period. There's the violence or whatever kind of controlling behavior is happening. And then usually then there's a period after that where the offender apologizes and says, I'll never do it again. And they're extra lovely and friendly.
Extra
and
nice.
Yeah.
And doing nice things.
And then so the victim starts thinking, okay, well, everything's going to be okay. This is never going to happen again.
Mm.
And then it comes around again into the cycle where it does. And, and often it gets worse and worse in that cycle. So each time it goes around, it's becoming more violent or more abusive or more controlling.
I can not imagine how that could be.
Really? And unfortunately...
Well, it would be horrible. You just wouldn't know what to do.
Well, I've been in that situation, and yes, you don't know what to do.
And it doesn't happen where the person is in the relationship and all of a sudden it happens. Everything's fine and then there's abuse. It's a slow build from hopefully being the period at the beginning of a relationship where everything's great. And there's psychological and emotional, almost like... They're feeling you out and seeing if you're the kind of person that they can do this to. Because if you're not, they're not going to have a relationship
keep doing
with you.
It.
Yeah, yes, so they kind of pick their victim.
Yes.
Right. God, that's horrible.
And sometimes it's not even that insidious. Sometimes, and I know with the revisioning program at the VAC, which is a men's behaviour change program for perpetrators who would like to change their behaviours.
Mm.
So this is for men who understand, gay or bisexual men who understand that their behaviours are controlling and abusive and want to do something about it. You'll find men who really want to work on their behaviour are genuinely remorseful about their behaviour. They genuinely are, they might hate themselves for what they're doing to their partner. They want to stop their behaviour, but they're caught in this pattern as well.
Yeah.
That's not to say that the pattern has power over them. They're still making conscious and deliberate choices to maintain power and control. And that's, I guess, another aspect to this, because their partners, although they both may recognize that this is family violence, neither partner, and this is with clients that we've worked with, neither partner would generally wants the relationship to end. And a lot of people think, you know, this relationship is abusive and needs to end. Most of the clients actually want to keep the relationship. They just want these behaviours to stop.
Right, okay.
So there are many parts of the relationship that they value, that they get a lot out of, but there is this part of the relationship that is incredibly damaging.
Yeah.
And mostly for the victim, that it's quite damaging.
I guess when you do go into a relationship, there are some things that you do want to change, and this is certainly one that you probably would definitely want to change.
Gabby, we know that, well, we assume that the domestic violence sector, shall we say, is designed for females.
Mm.
And that's one of the major issues, I think, for the gay male community, is that it's assumed that it's female orientated.
Mm.
It's for those wives who have to leave in the middle of the night with the kids because their husband's gone off the rails.
Yeah, well, all the statistics show that the majority of family violence is male against female. But then again, we do have other studies that say that it happens at the same rate in same-sex relationships.
Ah.
So it's a bit contrasting there.
Really?
I mean, if we look at family violence-related homicides, I believe it's about one death a week in Australia due to family violence, and that would be normally male against female.
Okay.
And that's a power thing. A lot of family violence is all about power, and so naturally you would think of the male as the more powerful. That's not always the case.
Uh-huh.
But that's how the majority of services are for women as victims and males as offenders.
And I think, speaking of family violence, one of the things that have come up that's been very prominent recently has been the shooting that was in just near Wagga.
Yeah.
And how a lot of people didn't look at the fact that, well, this is family violence. A man killed his family.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people and a lot of news reports and local residents who knew the family talking about, well, how horrible it must have been for him. They were a great family. They never saw any issues. But obviously there were things going on that no one else was aware of.
Yeah.
And family violence can happen as a one-off.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not saying in this instance, because I don't know
what
the situation was like, but it could have happened that he just snapped, and that's sadly the result.
Mm.
Hide and seek. Joy 94.9.
You are on Hide and Seek on Joy 94.9. Andrew the Apprentice here and James Finlay. We are joined by Gabby Tyack from the Victoria Police and Anthony Lekas from VAC. And a bit of a serious topic tonight, relationship violence, family violence, domestic violence, all the same thing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And now, if you are wanting to find out more, in particular, you can if it's an urgent situation, don't forget 000 is the best number to call in a in a urgent situation.
But if you're same sex attracted and you want a tailor service, then the VAC does offer something for you.
That's right.
Counselling at vac.org.au.
Yes, that's they can email us on that email address, or they can call us on 9865 6700.
But probably not now.
Not right now, we're not over, but...
during normal business hours,
right.
Yeah.
But, and the VSE provides service for victims and offenders, which is very unique.
In fact, we run the only gay and bisexual men's behaviour change program in Australia, so it is a fairly unique service. It's a very important one. And we run a very professional and respectful and ethical service. So if any gay or bisexual men are thinking about their relationship and thinking about some of their behaviours and they're feeling sort of as though they want to change the way they respond to the conflict in their relationships and want to start taking more responsibility for how to do that, then they can definitely give us a call, and our program is quite a good one.
Because you say that, do most people who perpetrate family violence know that they're doing it?
That's a great question, because I think it works both ways. Sometimes there's people that we've worked with that who are subjected to the abuse and unaware that they're in an abusive situation.
Just think it's normal.
And sometimes the men who are perpetrating the violence may not consider it family violence either. So sometimes some community education around this stuff really helps. Mm-hmm. And I think that's something the VAC is trying to do also. But definitely, I guess part of the engagement with our service, with our counselling service, or the men's behaviour change program, is some psychoeducation around what it is and what it isn't. And
there's a common misunderstanding, I suppose, often in the gay community and the straight community, where if you're in a same-sex relationship, people don't think there can be family violence because if it's two men, that's just how men interact. You know, they're rough and tumble, they hit each other. That's just normal behaviour. And for women, well, women don't hit each other. We're all nice and we don't get rough. So there certainly can't be any family violence in these relationships. And when you're in the relationship and you are experiencing family violence, and like we said before, it's not just physical, it can be psychological, it can be mental, it can be withholding money and all those sorts of things, they're not aware that they're in those situations. They're thinking that's a normal relationship, or they're thinking, okay, I'm gay, lesbian, trans, bi, and this is the best I can get. Because this is what my relationships are like. This is what I expect. This is what I'm not going to get anything better than this, and I can't tell anyone about it.
This is what I've tolerated on the streets.
Yeah, this is what I've been born into.
Yeah,
and it's just what being part of this community, we just have to accept it.
Now, further from that, like in this Archer study, it says that 77% of the people who were subjected to abuse or family violence were subjected to emotional abuse, and 58% psychological abuse. Is it more prevalent in the GLBTI community?
Look, like Abby said earlier, there isn't a lot of studies that can give us some answers around that with much certainty, but we do know that the studies that we do have, and the Coming Forward report is a report that Gay and Lesbian Health Victoria produced, and there's another closet, the one you have there from New South Wales, from ACON. I guess what they've found is that the various types of violence that happen in heterosexual relationships are not dissimilar to what we'll find in same-sex relationships and at the same rates.
Because I feel like same, like, gay relationships and lesbian relationships, I correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like they work quite differently in a lot of ways. How do I say it without stereotyping?
I don't know.
Well, there are some types of violence that are used in same-sex relationships that wouldn't be used in heterosexual relationships.
Okay, perfect. Okay. Good. Let's go down that track.
Okay, and one example of that is outing someone or threatening to out someone.
Ah, yes. Oh, that's happened to one of my friends, actually.
Right.
He, well, it's not really... They weren't a family or anything, or a couple even, but he was... he hooked up with someone off a website... And he didn't know, he just wanted to experiment. And he hooked up with this guy, and once, I think, or maybe even twice, I think, pretty sure it was once, but didn't like it, got freaked out, left. And the guy that he hooked up with kept sending him messages saying, "You've got to come back. I want to see you again." And my mate was like, no, I'm not interested. You know, I mustn't be gay. I'm not going to do it. And then he said, "If you don't come and see me, I will print out posters around the neighborhood. I will tell everyone that you're a dirty fag and everyone will know that you're gay."
And so what happened?
Well, he called me and he said to me, "Look, I'm freaked out. I'm not told anyone this, but I hooked up with a guy off Manhunt," and in my head I was like, "You what?" Because, you know, I had no idea. Well, I had an idea, but he'd never told anyone. Still hasn't, from what I know. And said, "Well, what the hell do I do?" I said, "Well, he's probably bluffing, to be honest. Like, he's not going to print out your poster all around town. I reckon you should tell him that you're not interested, to leave you alone, and if he keeps contacting you like this, that you'll go to the police."
Exactly. I mean, that kind of behaviour is stalking.
Yeah.
It's making threats. It, certainly, we could get an intervention order out on those kinds of behaviours.
But to him, who you know, hadn't spoken to anyone because he was from the outer suburbs. He's like, I can't have, you know, I live here. My family is all here. All my friends live here. You know, some of them are homophobic. I just, there is no way that I could carry on if that happened.
And those behaviours are family violence type behaviours if they're in a relationship. And having hooked up with someone once or twice can be classified as being in a relationship, I guess, under the law, if you want to get a family violence order.
Yeah.
You've had a relationship. It is a relationship.
Yeah. Short, but it was still a relationship.
Yeah.
So Gabby, let's go into, we touched on it now, so let's go there. Intervention orders, how do they work? How do you get one?
Well, you can go to the court and get one yourself, and the easiest way to investigate what they are is to get onto the Melbourne Magistrates Court website, and they have all the information on there about what they are, what they do, what you need to do. Basically, an intervention order is a piece of paper that the court makes to restrict a person's behaviours towards you. And there's a number of categories, and you go through with the registrar at the court and yourself as to what you think is required. And a lot of them are things like the person cannot contact you, and there will be certain ways of contacting. So it might be through online, in person, telephone, all those sorts of things. They cannot approach you within a certain number of metres or kilometres, depending on how they set the standards. They can't have a third party do any of those things to you. They can't harass you, intimidate, stalk, all those sorts of things. And it's giving, I guess, the courts and the police extra powers where they may not be committing an offence in everyday life, but if they breach any of the orders that are made in the court, then that's the offence that they're charged with, and it gives the police powers to act upon that. So it's really protecting yourself and telling the other person that they cannot do certain things.
And one of the biggest benefits, I'm guessing, is obviously there are stories that individuals don't worry about the individuals. That's okay.
Yes.
Yep. But for I would have thought the vast majority of cases, the actual process of going through an intervention order is sufficient enough for that person, the perpetrator, to stop.
A lot of the time, and even threatening them with saying, "I'm going to get an intervention order," or "I'm going to speak to the police," will stop people.
Yep.
But there's a number of people that nothing will stop them.
Yes.
That includes intervention orders, and that includes being caught and charged and taken to court numerous times for breaches of the intervention order. They won't stop. So they need to be locked up to keep the other person safe, or they need to be forced into undertaking some kind of behaviour change.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes it's the only way, mostly, that's the only way you would get someone to do any of those programs.
Yeah, I was just going to say, yeah, and I guess that just touches on the fact that family violence or relationship violence, in a sense, requires a criminal justice response, not just mm-hmm. a community service response through counselling and men's behaviour change programs. So sometimes both responses aren't always necessary, but like Gabby said, you know, sometimes if a perpetrator's determined to you know, have their own way and to do things on their terms, then breaching an order is not going to be an issue for them.
Now, Gabby, one of the other things you mentioned there was, of course, going to a website and the magistrate's court website in this case, and going to the VOC website, or going to, as we mentioned before, the Another Closet website, which we'll talk a bit about later. One of the issues of that is, of course, you can leave a trail if your partner is potentially stalking or dominating your behaviours. And I had never thought about this before, but I was at a conference last week where this got raised and talked about, and just the process that sometimes if you do feel like you're in a lot of danger, you do need to take action yourself to wipe things like browser histories and other things like that, to make sure that if you're being dominated to that extent, that your partner doesn't trace you that way and therefore react against that.
Well,
sort
if you
of thing.
Have to act in like being scared, then isn't that a sign that you should be doing something about it?
But
it takes people often a really long time to feel like they're ready to
take that step
because it is psychological abuse. The person is in a relationship where they're almost brainwashed to think that's normal or to be the victim. They're pushed down so low from the behaviours over many years that they don't think that they're worth any better than that, or that they don't think they'll find anyone better than that, so they stay. Often people stay because they don't have the resources to leave, or don't have anywhere to go, or don't think they have any support. So in those circumstances, it's, you know, contacting the police if there's violence and you fear for your life and you need assistance is a big step for people. And that's where your friends and family can come in. You know, if you are worried about someone you know who you think is being abused in any of these ways, then perhaps it's time for you to talk to the other person or try to take steps to help them. Because they may not be ready to do it themselves, and they may not have the time to do it, because you see in the news quite a lot what happens to people in family violence. They don't, they end up as another statistic, another murder, another death.
It's funny you bring that up, because we got a text message on 0427JOY949, or you can also send us an email on air@joy.org.au. It says, with so many examples of intervention orders not working, i.e. people then getting killed or abused, like you just said, are they worth the trouble and or the paper that they're printed on?
I mean, a lot of people would say no, but it comes down to the response when a breach occurs. I mean, it is a piece of paper. A piece of paper can't save your life.
No.
It's what you do with that piece of paper. It's what the individuals that you report to when there is a breach, what they do and what the services do.
And I guess, like you said before, if, you know, if making even the threat of putting an intervention order together might stop the perpetrator in the first place, then, you know, you've got to at least try and make that step.
Yes, and I think that one of the things that we know through one of the trainings that we do when we're assessing for risk, which is called the CRAF, the Common Risk Assessment Framework, is that the more people that are aware of what's going on, the greater the sense of safety for the victim. So their level of risk can decrease with the more people that are involved in their circumstances. However, that can sometimes raise the level of risk also. So it's a very sensitive area. And I think that we're in such a, sometimes we're a culture that can be blaming the victim. So we often expect the victim to be the one to do something about increasing their sense of safety. And I think sometimes we forget that a greater emphasis should also be put on the perpetrator to do something to stop his behaviour or to be prosecuted by police or to be sort of monitored by the police. So,
And how we respond has changed dramatically over the years. I mean, years ago, police would go to a domestic because that's what they were called back in the day.
Yeah.
And unless there was physical violence and any obvious violence and injuries, a lot of the time police would just say, oh, it's just another domestic. And leave. I mean, that's because that's how society was, and that's the culture, and that's how men and women interacted. It was seen as
normal.
That, you know, that's just how it is. It's just like with the gay community, we think, well, that's just how it is. We have to accept it, and it's changed because we are seeing people die. So the police have to respond in a different way. We can't just go, well, that's just another domestic. Yeah. We have to act. If we attend something and we see that there has been family violence, then we must respond. We can remove a person from the house. Mm. We can take out intervention orders that are in place immediately.
Yeah.
And then there are other services that are brought in to assist the victim and to house the offender.
Yeah.
And they all have to work together. And where we're finding intervention orders aren't working, so often it's because people aren't, I guess, living up to what they should be doing. Mm-hmm. But there's occasions you can't stop people. I mean, the piece of paper is not going to stop an offender from breaching the order if they want to do that.
Yeah.
So everyone has to take care. Everyone has to try to make sure that they do everything they can to remain safe. Mm. Sometimes you cannot prevent it.
We've got Gabby Tyack and Anthony here in the studio on Hide and Seek. Gabby is with the is one of the gay and lesbian liaison officers at the Victoria Police, and Anthony is a counsellor at the Victorian AIDS Council.
You are on Joy 94.9 with Andrew the Apprentice and James Finlay. We've got Gabby from Vic Police and Anthony from VAC here. And Anthony, of course, we are talking about relationship violence. And now, Anthony, you've got a new program at VAC. You've mentioned it a couple of times, the Men's Behaviour Change Program.
Yes.
Revisioning.
That's right. So Revisioning is our Men's Behaviour Change Program that runs for 12 weeks. So like I said, it's for men who are willing to take responsibility for their behaviours, for any abusive behaviours they're using in their relationships and wanting to change. I guess they're the two most important things, that they acknowledge that their behaviour is abusive. Or even if they're not sure, they can come in for an assessment and we can work with them to determine whether or not they're suitable for the group. And it runs for 12 weeks, and we cover a range of different topics, everything from look at the different cycles and patterns of violence that occur in relationships. We look at things like, you know, triggers and understanding your triggers, and various emotional regulation techniques so that they can calm themselves, so that they're able to participate in a relationship when there's conflict in a more sort of respectful and safer manner. And, you know, we look at sort of various communication skills, and we do a lot of empathy building exercises as well, where we look at the impacts of their behaviours on their partners, which can be very confronting for the men to get in touch with, to really have a look at, you know, how their behaviours may have hurt or impacted their family members or loved ones. Can be quite confronting work, but it's actually very important work for change. Sometimes, you know, feeling really uncomfortable in doing the work can be an important ingredient in change. But we do this work very respectfully. We do it in a very non-judgmental way. We provide a very ethical service, and we can provide post-group services to the men, because 12 weeks really isn't a long time to address behaviours that may have been around for a long time. So
that's a good point.
So we can hang in there for as long as we need to with the men who are sort of really willing to give it a go.
And VAC also offers counselling, of course, ongoing for those guys, but also guys who are victims of family violence.
Yes, we provide services for victims also. We provide one-on-one counselling that we can do that work with. And also we have a partner contact service that's attached to the Revisioning group. So while the men who are using violence are in the group for the 12 weeks. Our partner contact worker will have contact with their partners or ex-partners throughout the program, and that's just an ongoing sort of risk assessment and risk management element to the group. And we also offer them an opportunity to give us feedback about how they think their partners are going, and are they seeing change, and what feedback do they have for us, because we take the victim's sense of safety as a measure of sort of how they're travelling in the relationship, not just our professional judgement and what we see in the group with working with the men. So the men are very aware of this, that we do have contact with their partners while they're engaged in the program. It's actually part of the minimum standards that are attached to the runnings of these particular programs in Victoria.
But there's no groups at the moment for those who might have been a victim of violence but have left a relationship?
We don't have a group currently running at VAC, but we do have the one-on-one counselling that we can offer as a way of sort of beginning the work and trying to sort of increase their sense of safety.
Sure. Yeah,
I think these behaviour change programs are so essential because when we have family violence and the victim ends up leaving, which is a great thing. If it keeps them safe, then the offenders tend to just move on to another person and address and relive these same behaviours.
Sure.
So until we address that with people, and until they learn that those behaviours aren't correct and they need to change that, family violence is always going to be around. We can't just only deal with the victims. We have to look at the offenders and try to change how they think and how they relate to other people.
And Gabby and Anthony, what for somebody who's tonight listening and dreading the partner coming home, what do they do?
I would say speak to somebody, anybody, someone they trust. And even think about a safety plan. This might be a little strategy on what they might do if their risk to their safety increases and they need to get away very quickly. They might want to think about can they set up a situation where they might have a code word with a friend or a family member on needing immediate support. Do they have access to a spare phone if their partner was to take their phone away from them? Do they have money stashed away that they can access if they needed to find a hotel room somewhere? But definitely talking to somebody, whether that's a professional, a counsellor at VAC or anybody, or even Lifeline or calling 000.
If you're in that situation where you're dreading someone coming home, you need to take some steps to change that and to make yourself safe.
Yeah.
James, we should just run through, as we finish up here, the checklist. Now, we were referred to this before. ACON, which is essentially VAC's sister organisation up in New South Wales, has the Another Closet website, anothercloset.com.au, which has got a heap of resources, and they've got a great little checklist there. So just running through this as we wrap it up, and just as a trigger for you, we've talked about a lot of this, but has or does your partner humiliate you, call you names, make fun of you, threaten to out you to family or work, prevent you from attending gay or lesbian events or venues, have sudden outbursts of anger, act overprotective or become jealous for no reason, make it difficult or prevent you from seeing families or friends, control your money against your will, threaten you with violence or hit, kick or throw things at you, physically or emotionally hurt your children, threaten or actually hurt your pets, force you to engage in sexual acts you do not want to, are just some of the things that you should be mindful of.
Yeah, if any of those things are happening to you, you really need to consider, are you in the right relationship? Can you leave that relationship safely? Can you talk to your partner about those behaviours and see if they're interested in doing some behaviour change to help them in this relationship or future relationships? But the ultimate thing is you need to make sure that you're safe.
And as we said, call VAC or Lifeline or 000 in an emergency. As I said, anothercloset.com.au is a great resource there as well.
Yeah.
Big thank you to, of course, Gabby and Anthony for the last hour about relationship violence.
You can find more Joycast and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.